super strong, supernatural, and super bad. His punch can topple a skyscraper. His kick can split the earth in two. More destructive than an earthquake, mightier than a tidal wave. A one-man disaster area.
42nd Street Pete.
Shot full of lead and he still ain't dead. Jump back, Jack, for your skull is cracked.
42nd Street Pete.
Well, we've really been kicking ass since the first of the year. I mean, you know, especially last week with Jack Ketchum and Gary Kent calling in. But when, you know, when I think of kicking ass, I of course think of WSU, Women's Superstars Uncensored. And a lot of people have been asking me what's going on and when are you bringing back Amy? So if one person in WSU would honestly know what's going on, it's the commish, Amy, primetime Amy Lee herself. Welcome back to the Grindhouse, Amy.
What is up, stranger?
Nothing. Where have you been?
Tremendous. Or as Missy Sampson would say, tree-fucking-mendous.
Cool, cool.
How was Santa to you during Christmas?
He was lean, but I didn't expect much. At least I got out of Jersey. That was a gift enough, you know?
Wow, that was a little fucking cold.
Yeah, I know.
Santa was real good to me.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah. I heard your little boy over there, Rob, got new jars of Vaseline so he can have happy endings all the time.
Oh, shit. Todd's been behaving, actually.
Oh, nice.
Todd. Our friend Todd.
Yeah, he still hasn't quite recovered from the Rick Cataldo anal assault that was performed.
Oh, man.
Talk about a gangbang film.
Really?
Yeah, really.
I heard he was going to post it on YouTube.
Be GooTube.
Oh, man.
So do you believe this March 3rd will be 5 years for WSU wrestling?
It's really hard to believe.
I know. Where has the time gone?
Yeah, I know.
Just think. 65 pounds ago for me. Ugh.
65 pounds ago, a retirement match, and now the commissioner.
I know. I'm a jack of all trades and I'll let you in my mind and my husband's pants.
How is Artie, speaking of
your husband's pants? He's doing real good. As a matter of fact, he's been doing, he has a part-time gig. He does a lot of security. He did security for bodyguarding for Lil Wayne, and that Chris Brown, the woman beater. And let's see, who else? Megadeth. Tim McGraw. He's like getting out there, you know. Lil Wayne was fascinated with him. He looked at him and said, "Man, I never met a skinhead before." My husband just looked at him and he said, "Whatever." You know, my husband, he's a man of few words. And but that Lil Wayne, he looked like an oversized tarantula with gold teeth. He just freaked me out. Don't he? Yeah, he looked like an oversized tarantula, shaved down, put gold teeth in its mouth, you know. But he was real cool. My husband said, you know, a lot of those guys were real cool. Rascal Flatts, and he met Aerosmith, and he met Journey, and Night Ranger. I mean, that's going back. And so he said it was really cool. Like, he worked the Warped Tour and a couple other heavy metal concerts over the summer. So he likes it, though. He said nobody really fucks with him. He said a couple guys got out of line, and he just grabbed them and yanked him over the railing and told him, "Sit your ass down. The next time I'll throw you the fuck out of here." They look at Artie.
You don't want to fuck with Artie.
Yeah. If anybody ever seen my husband, Artie Big Boss Palmer's at the wrestling shows, he looks like a retired skinhead, bald, goatee, tatted up. Sweetest guy in the world that would do anything for you, but he just looks mean. The exterior looks rough. He just celebrated his 61st birthday this past Monday. Yay, Big Boss!
Happy birthday.
So. But, so tomorrow he's doing security for the Wing Bowl. For Wingadoro or whatever the hell the guy's name is. Some fat ass that crams wings down his throat in 30 seconds or less, you know. So, but other than that, you know, he's getting all excited for the 5th anniversary, WSU and the Hall of Fame. I mean, it's nice because, you know, Cindy Rogers is going to finally get some recognition. I mean, people have mentioned her in the past and, you know, have interviewed her and... I was always shocked. She never got, like, a big spread in a magazine or anything, you know. And I always thought she was a very good wrestler, but she never got her due justice, so. this time around. WSU's making sure of it, which is phenomenal. And I actually had nothing to do with it. They had made that decision after the last Hall of Fame. When she announced her retirement, they had decided right then and there that they were going to put her in this year's class of Hall of Fame. A shocker for me was Janet, because she's only been in wrestling for 6 years. I mean, she's been with the company for five, but yeah. She's only been in wrestling for about 6 or 7 years. So I was a little surprised about that. I thought they would have had somebody more seasoned, you know, as a veteran or something. But that's okay. I mean, she's really positive in the locker room, very respectful, you know, got a heart of gold and stuff. So, you know, like when Mercedes got hurt, Cindy Rogers, myself, Jana and Jennifer Cruz went over to see how she was. You know, like the Jersey Delaware gang came to see how she was doing at the hospital and stuff with Dr. Don Boots and his sister. And then they have Georgiana Macropoulos. I don't know if you ever had the pleasure of meeting her, but she was the president of Bruno Sammartino's fan club for many, many moons. And real good person, down to earth. It was funny because Georgiana was very old world Italian, always had, like, you know, a skirt on and a, you know, pair of shoes and stuff. Like, you never saw her in sneakers and jeans and t-shirts. I don't even think a woman owned that. She always had a nice skirt on, nice blouse, you know, very feminine dresser. You know, loved wrestling, loved it, and was a big, when I say big, I mean humongous Bruno Sammartino fan. And she actually became very good friends with him, too, so that was really cool, you know. And, you know, she always looked out for people in wrestling and stuff. And I remember I had just came back from Tennessee, and I had saw her down at the Airport Marriott in Philadelphia. And it was a night of a show. Murdoch was on the card. And, you know, I walked over, and I was talking to her. And we were talking about wrestling and the business and stuff like that. And, you know, she was saying, oh, you know, Bruno used to say this and that. And, you know, she was like, you know, give me some inside scoops and advice and stuff. And, you know, a lot of people were like, ah, what are you listening to her for? I'm like, you know, Bruno Sammartino just don't hang out with a lot of people. You never really hear of him hanging out with anyone. And also, he must have respected Georgiana and, you know, her newsletter and stuff like that. So, you know, God rest her soul. She was a great lady. So I think that's tremendous that WSU is acknowledging her, you know, not only because, you know, she was so passionate about wrestling, but she was the first female to ever do a wrestling newsletter. So, you know, she gets major, major kudos for that. So I was excited. And then WSU is inducting Dixie Carter. I personally have mixed feelings on it because in the beginning, Dixie was doing a great thing with the girls from TNA. And I laughed because when I would watch the roster, I was like, oh, my God, I wrestled all these girls, you know, and stuff. And from TNA, I got to wrestle and became very good friends with Awesome Kong, a.k.a. Karma. So, you know, that was really cool. And, you know, I give her kudos for that. And then, you know, she let the men take over, and now they want all these diva bunnies and anybody over a certain weight and whatever. They, you know, they kind of, like, put out the boot and stuff, and, you know, they're starting to turn into WWE that way. And it's a shame because their women's division outranked the men's division in WWE at one time with the ratings.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's a shame because she had a positive product, and, you know, she listened to the wrong people because, you know, some of them guys don't know when to hang up their trunks. They came in there and, you know, talked to her ear, filled her head full of bullshit, and she pretty much, you know, listened to them. And you know, I honestly do not watch wrestling at all anymore. You know, I had heard that Awesome Kong, a.k.a. Karma, I heard she made her debut back, you know, bumping two guys out of the Royal Rumble and then taking a bump herself, which was nice for her because she fits the role with her size and her strength and stuff and on. And I always laugh because as nasty as she is in the ring, is what an absolute darling she is outside the ring. And congratulations to her and her fiance for the birth of their child, their little boy. I think that's tremendous. Yeah, I believe he was born on New Year's Eve. So, you know, And then now I heard she's back, you know, trying to get the ring rust off and stuff like that. You know, I mean, I give her kudos, you know, just having a newborn baby and, you know, already back out there trying to take lumps and bumps. I think I would have waited maybe till the kid was like 6 months or something. But, you know, if she's able to do it, God bless her, because, you know, hey, do it now while you're still hot, because eventually people will forget who you are. So,
yeah, you know. Is that the truth?
Yeah, it is. It's a shame. I mean, all the girls that are hot now, you know, 20 years from now, people will be like, who? who, or even 10 years, who.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard. It's very hard. And it's funny because I watch wrestling and it's like history repeats itself, and I see the angles they try and do and different things, and it's stuff that they did back in the '80s, and then they edited or revised it in the '90s, and then now in the millennium, the 2000s, they want to, 2010s, they want to bring it back again. But what they forget to realize with the different angles and storylines and ideas and the creativity is that stuff was hot at that moment because it fit that time period.
Yeah,
you know, it fit the time period. And it also was the person that was delivering the product. That's what made it so good. Like back then, if you think about it, back then in the 80s, you know, wrestling was always very, you know, just simple, plain, you know, men's short trunks and a pair of plain black boots. And wasn't too many guys even back in the 70s that were charismatic or anything. I mean, like Crazy George really changed. You know, he's really the pioneer of it. And then you got guys like Dusty Rhodes that come in, and you got guys like superstar Billy Graham, you know, and Jesse Ventura that changed it. And then, you know, and then from those guys, pioneer guys like the Road Warrior, the Barbarian, the Warlord, you know, and different things like that. And then from those guys, if you think about it, it blossomed into like Hulkamania, so you know, with Sergeant Slaughter, Ricky the Dragon, and all that, you know, it was kind of neat, you know. But they try and do that now, and I think the older generation appreciates it because we always like to go back to when we're a kid and reminisce, and that's what it does. It brings you back to your youth and makes you feel young again. Whereas young kids really don't get it because, you know, life nowadays is just not simple anymore for a kid. It's very complex, you know, always competing for. I mean, I listen to people when I'm on my way to the office on public transportation, and they're talking about competing about daycares and, you know, in elementary school, my son has this average. I'm thinking, Christ, when I went to elementary school, we just learned how to read, write, basic arithmetic, basic. Right, you know what I'm saying? Just basics. We didn't have all this competition in foreign languages and stuff. But that's what they're doing now. They're just making life one big competition. And these kids really don't know how to be kids. And when they try to be a kid, they're on the computers. You know what I mean? They're on computers. When's the last time you see kids play kick the can or tag or freeze tag?
Well, see, that's the other problem, and it kicks back to wrestling too, because all these kids have a video game mentality, and the shit has to happen like every 5 seconds.
I know, it's terrible. And
that's
it's terrible.
What kills it. Yeah.
Like I worked for MLW last summer, and you know, some people know I broke my wrist that weekend and wound up wrestling the entire weekend for them with a broken wrist. You know, I remember Dal Brough, you know, saying to me, oh, you probably just sprained it, no big deal. So I had taped it up and packed it and everything like that. And I had to actually work, what was it, Melanie Cruz from Illinois, up in that area there. She, Melanie Cruz. So we worked an angle where, like, she broke my hand with a chair and all, because I really couldn't do much with a broken hand. You know, I could only do certain things and all. And I'm like, thank God I'm so basic. I'm not a high flyer. But, I mean, you know, like, we pulled it off and all, but we did a very simple, you know, old school heel, you know, good versus evil match, and it went over real well. And what I liked about it is that, you know, there were people, like, all different age groups, little kids, teenagers, and adults, and the older, you know, people coming up and saying, that was a great match. It was so good to just see simple wrestling, you know, good versus evil, and, you know, be able to follow it and, digest, but enjoy it. And that meant a lot, you know, because I always say to people, you know, I was born and bred in New Jersey as Amy Lee Murray, but when I went down to Tennessee, I just became Amy Lee, in a sense, that's where Amy Lee was really born, the character of Amy Lee, the biker bitch. That's when I was pretty much born. You know, that's when, like, Burdock was bringing out my smart assness and my quick wit and my capabilities to talk and stuff. Because up here, I was just, you know, like everybody else, I just had the big hair and the long nails and the come fuck me pumps and all that. And I was a good 100 pounds thinner back then, you know. And I mean, I was never a petite, don't get me wrong, but, you know, I was always a thick girl and all, but I was a lot thinner, I would say. And But I just always, I mean, I like the clothes and all my clothes and going all, but I just felt like, you know, I just felt like I was just going to the ring and just walking around there and, you know, people weren't noticing me. And then once I peeled off the silks and the satins and slid into leather, that's what people noticed. Like, here comes this big buxom blonde in leather, you know, telling people to go fuck themselves and, you know, looking at men saying, you know, I'll rape you in front of your wife. You know, so, but, yeah, nowadays with the kids, I feel bad for them. They don't really know how to be a kid. They really do not know how to be a kid. And it's funny because I went down to my my niece that you and I always talk about, Jessica. I went down to her 13th birthday party, and I really didn't know what to expect. And here was a group of kids that from the time they got there until the time the party was there, was in the pool just playing and talking and just enjoying me. And it was so nice to see that. Like, I'm sitting there and I'm saying to myself, oh, my God, this is like, so refreshing, because you don't see that. You don't see that anymore, you know? You don't see kids playing in the streets, you know, baseball or tossing a football. You don't see that anymore. You really don't. And if people do, they're very lucky, because kids, they don't even really see them ride bikes anymore.
Yeah, I know. They come out like they're pitted, like they're going out to some kind of ridiculous war game or something like that. Like, bumps and bruises were part of growing up.
Or,
I don't understand.
Or you know what I crack up when it's just raining out, you know, not heavy raining, but it's just like drizzling out. Oh, no, you can't go outside. It's raining. Let me drive you to school. Mom looked at me and says, yeah, we're keeping totes in business. Put your rubber boots on and put your galoshes and your raincoat on. Walk your ass to school. You see that thing that unfolds called umbrella? Start walking. Yeah. Oh, what's that? You got dirt? Yeah, go take a shower, wash it off. You're not going to die. You know? It's the truth. It's the God's honest truth. But getting back to WSU, see, every time I get on here with you, 42nd Street, we always get sidetracked with 99 other goddamn bullshit stories.
But, I know. We got to keep the eye on the prize.
But, no, getting back to WSU, I think it's great with the five-year anniversary. You know, I'm interested to see what happens with the former Bell Saint, with Marty Bell and Tina San Antonio. I always liked Tina, but I always knew she had like a shady side to her. But I think Marty has a little bit of a shadiness to her too, because you don't become friends like that and tag and travel together, you know, being straight laced and all. But that should be an interesting match. One of them's going to screw one of them over. I just have that gut feeling, you know.
Well, you know, something too. Fill us in what happened last show, because you were the special referee in the war game. Something happened. Now I'm just going to say what I remember hearing, and you can correct me. There was some kind of legal injunction against you. You couldn't touch any of the Midwest militia.
Oh my God, that was so. Oh my God, talk about cussing like a drunken sailor. I get there the day of the show. Here's this big jabroni standing there in this cheap shark skin suit. I look at him. I'm saying to myself, what law firm's he from? Howie Dewey and Cheatham? And he hands me this injunction. I read this, and I go, what the fuck is this? You know, he goes, well, you should know what it is. You're a so-called paralegal. And I'm like, looking at this. I'm like, it's an injunction. I'm like, who the fuck is an injunction in a wrestling show? I'm like, scratching my hat. I'm like, totally confused. Sean the Mick says, yeah, he's like, you know, we got served with this too, but we got it on Friday, and this is your copy. He's hand delivering it to you. He's like, you're not allowed to touch this one. You're not allowed to touch that. I wasn't allowed to touch Midwest Militia at all. If I did, I could be fired. I could be terminated as commissioner. But, of course, those pricks, they're really cunts. They turn around and they clock me. Now, I'm a referee, okay? First of all, you're in a cage match. There's really, the only rules are you go through the door or you go over the top or somebody has to quit, you know, basically submission or get pinned. And, you know, somebody has to quit in order to win. So, you know, what am I going to fucking do? I'm the referee, okay? Really, I'm just sitting in a corner watching everybody kick the shit out of one another. I see, you know, Allison Kay, Sassy Stephanie, like, hit me from behind and start putting the boots to me. So I start getting up. The morons handcuff me to a rope. To a rope. I'm sitting there. No lie. You'll see it on the video. I'm sitting there, handcuffed to the rope, looking at this going, are you fucking kidding me? Like, who the fuck handcuffs the referee inside a cage? You know what I mean? Unless you're going to just beat me to death. I'm sitting there practically almost finger-fucking myself watching these people beat the shit out of one another. And I have to give kudos to Mercedes, and it's not just because she's a friend of mine. And, you know, I know a lot of people are always like, oh, Mercedes this, Mercedes that. But, I give credit where credit's due. We all know I don't sugarcoat anything. She really busted her ass in that match, and she gave 1,000%. And I honestly thought Allison Kay stepped up her game. I was very impressed with her. Sassy Stephanie seemed like she was very nervous when she was one-on-one. It's the same with Brittany Savage. Alicia was just a bitter, nasty bitch cussing everybody out. I looked at her and go, man, you're making me blush with your mouth. And Jessica Havoc just went totally fucking psychotic and pulled out a machete and was going to, like, stab Mercedes with it. And I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at this, and I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? You beat me. You beat ODB. You beat Nikki Rox. You beat all these people, and you're going to pull out a fucking machete to get Mercedes to quit? Like, are you retarded? I mean, I'm the blonde that took 22 years of chair shots, really? All three of you, you know? You got the brain of a dog turd full of diarrhea. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, who the fuck does retarded shit like that? And they're all extreme and everything like that. But the sad part that night, at the end of the night, Mercedes wasn't beaten. You know, she didn't quit. Her teammates quit, but she didn't quit. And they fucking handcuffed Brittany Savage and Alicia, too. They handcuffed them. And I'm just sitting here, and I'm like, this is retarded. And then I look, and I'm like, here's Dr. Don's bag in the ring. So I'm saying to me, please don't tell me he's fucking getting, you know, a stiff one for these three. You know, like, he's not getting all hot and bothered by these things. They're cock teasing him. So, you know, I pull him on the side afterwards, and I ask him about it, and he said, no. He said, I didn't know it. He said, you know, I went to go talk to, you know, the commissioner, and I went to go talk to the people with the building and different things like that. He says, and of course, I left my bag in the locker room. He goes, and when I come back, he goes, I didn't really pay attention. He says, next thing you know, I'm getting clocked, and there goes my bag full of handcuffs. So I honestly was really pissed off at Dr. Don about it because he was careless, you know, with his stuff. And then these morons throw handcuffs and every other goddamn thing in his bag. And I just told him, I said, you have to stay home for the anniversary. I'm like, I don't even want you there. I'm like, and I know he's upset with me because he hasn't talked to me in a couple weeks. But he was really angry about it. And he was like, I didn't do nothing. I'm being persecuted. And I said, I'm sorry. I'm like, you know, as a commissioner, I have to look at everything. I said, maybe some people realize it, some people didn't, but your bag was part of it. And I said, this way here, and this is how I look at it, tell me if I'm right or wrong, if he's not there and they do shady shit, he can't get blamed for it. If he's there and they do shady shit and he's by ringside, he's going to get blamed for being involved. Am I right or am I wrong?
You're right. You're absolutely right.
This is like a fucking Law and Order episode, people. Pay attention. No, I'm like kidding. So, no, so I did. I pretty much told him, you want to watch it? Pay the fucking $10 and watch it. So, I know he's pissed off at me, but you know what? He'll fucking get over it. So, but I'll tell you what. I thought Lexus did very well against Melina. Melina had some ring rust, you know, obviously. She, you know, you go from wrestling all the time to not wrestling at all. You know, you're going to get rusty. So she did, but I thought Lexus did very well. I was very happy with the choice that I made. Some people panned it, but I'm saying to myself, this girl just went, you know, like, what was it, 70 minutes with Mercedes and never quit. And, I mean, yeah, she lost, but she went 70 minutes with her, you know. She
went more than what they did. I had her on right after that.
Did you?
And she had never done a radio show before, and she was great. She just went with the flow. It was great.
She's a great girl. You know what? Yeah. That's somebody everybody should take notice to, because she's a pretty girl. She's built very nice. She looks nice when she goes to the ring. But she's a house of fire, because my husband, it was funny, the first time we saw her, my husband watched her match. And, you know, and I was watching it in the back. That's one thing I love about WSU, is they allow you to watch the rest of the show in the locker room. So you can watch things and pick up things and learn things. And I just watched how she was a house of fire, and she was slaying in those forearms. And it was funny, because on our way home, my husband said, what you think? And I said, well, I love that new girl, Alexis. I said, she's just like, you know, from the Boston Shore. I said, she's rough, man. I said, she's like a little house of fire. He goes, yeah, it's like a little firecracker, man. He says, she was laying it in there. I said, yay. He was like, I like her. I said, so do I. I said, you know me, I like anybody that's ballsy. I said, she's definitely ballsy. I said, that's somebody they better, you know, like, pay attention to, because, you know, she's got talent. She, you know, she's got charisma. She's got balls. She, you know, she's got looks. She's got talents. And she's got balls. So, you know, that's what I said to them. I said, you know, you ought to keep an eye on her. And they did, you know. Now I appreciate the fact that, you know, Sean and Mick and them, you know, value my opinion. And look, she got a shot with Mercedes, and I think she did very well for herself. There was a couple of times.
I didn't see that match. I just heard about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, there was a couple of times where she almost pinned Mercedes, and I was very taken back by that. You know, I mean, Mercedes' experience and familiarity with the ring and knowledge, you know, overseeing Lexus. But Lexus, I even told her that night, you shouldn't hang your head in shame. It was like 100-some degrees in the building. And those girls went for like a good 70 to almost 90 minutes. And I'm like, you should never hang your head on this match. You, if anything, you should be very proud of this match, because you hung in there. You didn't quit. And she was like, oh, thank you. And all, you know, very humble. She was very, very humble about it.
Yeah, she was really psyched up on the show, too.
Yeah, she's a good girl. And Amber's a good girl. I remember when Amber first started. And, you know, Amber's come a long way, too. Yeah, you know, you know, Pete, you and I talk about this all the time, about people that review the shows and criticize and critique and stuff. And I think the one thing that pisses... No, it's not that I think, it's that I know. I hate this with a passion. I hate motherfuckers who sit there and criticize people and never stepped in the goddamn ring. These people sit there and they knock the shoes, or they knock a match, or they knock a person. And I'm like, who the fuck are you to say anything? What makes you an expert? Because you're a fan? Well, guess what, asshole? I'm a fan, too. But I've also been inside the ring. I've also received injuries. I've also did all kinds of fucking gimmick matches and shit. You know, let's match your credentials to mine, okay? How dare you? And that's what angers me. Like, I'm very protective of these girls on the roster. And you know, Mick and the rest of the management, I'll tell you, I'm very, 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 very protective of them. And I turn around and I don't like when they knock the girls. Okay, you're entitled to your opinion. You didn't care for the match. That's fine. But who the fuck are you to criticize someone and talk about them like they're scum of the fucking earth or they're beneath you? I don't like that shit. And a lot of these website newsletter people, they, you know, that review the matches, they take the liberty a little too far. Like, one person made a comment about me cursing, and I shouldn't curse, and I shouldn't this, and I shouldn't that. I know it's uncensored, but I don't want to hear Amy Lee curse. Well, you know what? Too fucking bad, because when I'm there, you know I'm going to curse, because you know what? I earned the fucking right. Because when you were learning how to put a tampon in your twat, or you were learning how to gel up your cock for a happy ending, I was fucking in the ring getting my head kicked in by the fucking veterans that you were jerking off to. So go fuck yourself. I hate people like that. And you know what? Anymore, I don't even read the reviews, because I used to, but I'm like, you know what? No, fuck them, because I know what I saw. And we all know I'm not a bullshitter or a sugarcoater. And I know what girls look good, what girls need work, who, what, when, where, and how. And I make notes back there. And, you know, I got some of the other girls, like Rain and all, I got them watching. And Cindy Rogers is sitting there commentating, but she's making notes and stuff like that. And we actually sit back there with those girls afterwards, and we talk to them about their matches, like whether it's intermission or after the show or something. We sit there, you know, and it's got to really stick out for us to say something, you know. Or, you know what, you did this move, it looked really good, but try it this way this time or something like that. Like, I always say to people, I'm not one for technicality of wrestling. That's a Cindy Rogers thing or a Rain thing. That's not my thing. I'm more of an ass kicker, brawler, you know, skull fucker. But my charisma and persona and the way you deliver it and carry it, that's my forte. So you take your forte and you try and share it with others to bring the best out on them. And that's one thing now with WSU. If you notice, the girls are doing more and more videos for YouTube and more promos. Whereas before, it was just a couple promos and maybe one or two videos, where now, you know, we're trying to get these girls out of their shell and get them to talk, you know, and you're starting to see that more and more with WSU. Like, they're just trying to get better, you know. They're not trying to stay at the same level. They're trying to go better and better and better, you know, and they're always getting offers from promotions in Japan, and they just had a deal set up in Canada where these people, you know, they exchange talents and stuff like that. So that's going to tell you something. The other parts of the world are starting to take notice to WSU, and they see it's a positive thing. And the one thing that a lot of people love about WSU is that you get all different shapes, sizes, color, creeds, backgrounds, you know what I mean, ethnic backgrounds. It's not like vanilla. It's not like you look at this pretty sofa and it's got fucking plastic covers over it that you can't touch. You know what I mean? It's real. It's as real as it fucking gets. You know, you got fat girls, skinny girls, girls with big knockers, girls with no knockers. Sorry, Cindy. But you know what I mean? Like, you got all different shapes, sizes, looks, you know, the whole nine yards. Many, many personalities, and that's what's great. It's a big melting pot, and that's how it used to be. It's new and much edgier with the ideas and the storylines and the talent, but at the same time, it still keeps that tradition and that old school going.
Three of the girls were up here for Absolutely Intense Wrestling last Sunday.
Who was it? Was it Annie?
No, wait a minute. Let me think. Maybe four. It might have been...
Was it Girls Night Out?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah, it was Annie Social, Roxy Cotton, Jameel Kraft, and some other chick.
Wait a minute. The only ones that from WSU was Roxy. Let me see. Allison Kay, Latasha, and Marty.
Oh, okay.
That's what they were advertising, but I didn't find out about it until 2 hours after the show started.
Oh, okay.
Great advertising.
Yeah, that's what happens, you know. Yeah. I mean, I get people all the whole time, they'll say to me, oh, Emily, why don't you come? We got some of your girls on the show. Why don't you come to our show? And I mean, it's very sweet, and it's very, very gracious of them. But you know what? No offense. I traveled up and down the road for 22 years, and you know what? I like sitting at home on the weekends in my flannel PJs at times.
You know? What happened? Mercedes get taken to the hospital too with that last show.
She fell on her neck, and then she had a little bit of like numbness and paralysis, like, you know, for a little bit, and then it started to come back and all. And she wanted to go home, and we were like, "No, you need to get checked." Mm. And she's like, "But," and I'm like, "But nothing, you know, get checked." And I rode over in the ambulance with her, and you know, I walked in. This is funny, Pete. I'm walking in with her. Now, I'm in my ref gear, which was basically my wrestling tights and boots and then a WSU T-shirt, you know. So I go in there, and I'm walking in with her, and she's on this gurney. People are looking at me like I kicked the shit out of her or something, and I was like, no, I'm the referee. She was in a match that I refereed. People were like, oh, you know. But she got checked out and everything, and you know, she's good. She just had a stinger. So what she did to recuperate is she took some time off, from inside the ring, you know, but she's doing much better and everything. And, you know, when you get a chance, check out YouTube or go to WSUWrestling.com. Jessica Havoc did three different YouTube videos talking about Mercedes, and she's had, like, no respect. And, you know, I'm just going to sit back on the fifth, and I'm just going to watch Mercedes just smack her teeth right down her throat because, you know, she's got a little too much to say about people, you know?
Yeah, so. She was on, we had her on when she first came back out again after she, you know, she'd split up with Haley, and then she came back on her own, and she said that she was waiting in the wings because she wanted to be the one to beat Mercedes for the belt. That was her big thing.
Right. Well, I'm not saying she will, but I'm not saying she won't. I'm just saying it's going to be very interesting that day. There's a lot of grudge matches, if you ask me. You got Sassy Stephanie and Brittany Savage and Allison Kay and Alicia. You got, you know, the former Bell Saints. You know, you got a lot going on that day. So it should be very, very interesting.
Yeah, the tag belts up too, right?
Huh?
Tag belts are up too, right?
Yep. A lot of belts are up. I believe all the belts are up as far. Not unless they changed it on me again, you know, because sometimes, you know, we get that little prissy missy prima donna attitude going, you know. But I believe all the belts are up. Usually at an anniversary show, all the belts are up. So it should be good, you know. It's very interesting. I mean, like, anybody that wants to catch up as to what's going on or just understand, you know, the whole angle of something, just go to www.wsuwrestling.com, and it pretty much explains everything. Or, you know, like I became one of them big tweets. I like tweeting all the time, you know, on Twitter. So, I mean, if you want to know what's going on, or if you have any questions about wrestling, you can just tweet me. It's the @AmyLee869. It's Amy Lee's all in caps. So it's the @ it's @AmyLee869. So, you know, and because I always, you know, as information trickles out, I like to give it to the fans and stuff like that. And we got, you know, it's kind of cool because, you know, when I'm tweeting, I get guys that tweet me and they say, you know, like, Amy Lee, I'm coming in from Florida. It's my birthday. This is my gift to myself. And it makes me feel good. And I always tweet them back, you know, like, make sure you come and say hi to me, you know. And we had some people that traveled from Texas this last time. So you know what I did? I brought them, like, towards the locker room, and I told the girls, I'm like, this man came from Texas. He rode on a bus from Texas to come see you girls wrestle live. You know, and I was like, you know, you guys should thank him because it's guys like this that keep us going. And believe me, all the girls were very gracious to him and stuff like that, and, you know, acknowledged him and things. But, you know, I want to give a big shout-out to a friend of mine. He was over in Iraq, and now he's in Kuwait. His name is Stephen Roy. His sister and her friend are big Becky Bayless fans, and they call themselves Becky Bayless Security. Like, you know, they're always, you know, watching her back and stuff, which is cool. But, you know, Steve Roy, he's done a couple tours over in Iraq and stuff. So, you know, thank God he's, you know, he's safe now, and, you know, he's not in Iraq anymore. And I just wanted to give him a little kudos because he's a big WSU fan. And at the last show, his sister came with her friend, and they, the two of them went around and got a poster signed that they made for her brother, and, you know, shipped it over to Iraq to him and stuff, and did, like, we did, like, a little tape just thanking him and stuff. So, you know, I just want to give a shout-out to him.
That's, you know, cool. Is he on his way home?
Yeah, he'll be home. He'll be home shortly and all. And I did say to his sister and her friend, I did tell him that, you know, he definitely will be an honored guest at a WSU show of his choice. You know, just let me know when he's coming. You know, and that's another thing, like, Sean Nemec and I talk about, and Sean's very, very good with stuff like that. You know, him and the rest of the management team and stuff is, you know, when you got guys like that that are coming to your shows and all, you know, we acknowledge them because, you know, if it wasn't for guys like that, we wouldn't have the freedom that we have. So, exactly. you know, those guys, yeah, Mick and all those guys over there at WSU in the management office are tremendous with stuff like that, you know. And, you know, like I sent Mick a text saying, you know, like, when this guy comes back, you know, he's an honored guest. And he was like, absolutely, without fucking doubt. You know, Mick, fucking absolutely, without fucking doubt, man, you know. Yeah. So, you know, and that's cool because you get people that, they're like, you know, they look at it as, they look at it as making money. But don't look at it as making money, and him and the guys in the office don't look at making money for themselves. It's for the girls, because he feels as though I keep the girls happy. They're going to make me more money, so I can do the DVDs, and I can do the IPPVs and stuff like that. And that's where the money's at now. People, you know, I sat there, and I watched, and almost every week, or every other week, WWE has some sort of pay-per-view on, and if it's not them, it's UFC.
Yeah.
It's like they alternate. One week's him, one week's WWE, next week's UFC. They constantly. And it's a sin because these aren't cheap pay-per-views. These are $30 to $50 pay-per-views, depending on who your main event. Like, WrestleMania is $50, you know? And that's a lot of money for a pay-per-view. That's a money whore to make. You know,
yeah.
Like, what's WSU? $15. You know, if you order it early, it's $9.99. That's why I tell everybody: get $20, order your pay per view, get the fucking 2-for-5 special over at Domino's, or go to Subway, get a footlong for $5. You know what I mean? Run over to Rite Aid with your little discount card or CVS or Walgreens. Get your little Vaseline or your little KY.
I fucking knew you were going there.
I'm serious, man. You can sit there and your fucking balls hanging out, watching the girls, jerking off, eating. It's a cheap fucking date. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Is it still in Long Island?
It's in Deerfield, yeah. It's still Deerfield. That's a nice vicinity and plenty of bathrooms, not co-ed, thank God. So I have to do what you meant, pissing on the floor. But it's nice. It's a nice sized locker room. It's a big parking lot. Really is a nice facility. And the guys over there at NYWC or NYCW are really, really, really spectacular. Very kind, very good hearted people. Is that
Mikey Whitbeck's outfit?
You know what? I would be a liar. I'm almost positive it is, but I didn't see Mikey there, so I could be wrong. Yeah. You know, like some of the guys that were there, I knew, like one of the guys was a security guard for Atlas Security. Well, Atlas did security for WEW for many, many years. So I remember him back in the day, you know, and I was like, well, you ain't as bulky as what you used to be. Because I got older, and I go, I got wider. You know?
You know, it's really starting to suck, and you notice as much as I do. All the venues are drying up. I mean, I don't know what happened with Ace, but I just heard the old ECW arena is shut down for renovations. They're not sure whether they're going to let wrestling back in.
Well, you know what it is? First of all, with that arena there, with the one in Philadelphia, the ECW arena, you know, like Francine and I had this conversation that Friday night before that last show with CZW at the arena. And she and I were talking, and she was saying, people are like, oh, aren't you going to miss it all? She goes, no. She goes, back in the day when it was ECW, I enjoyed it, but it's over. We got to move on. Nothing lasts forever. And I think what everybody's trying to do is PW was very successful in that building because they kept their prices cheap. You know, a lot of the wrestlers were from that area, so friends, coworkers, and family would come see. But it wasn't just that, but they had some really good talent in there as well, and you know, which drew the people in. And they didn't try and compare themselves to ECW. They were an individualist. They were totally, you know, different. They didn't try, like Todd and Dr. Don and Johnny Cashmere didn't try and promote it as a wannabe ECW. They promoted it as an independent company, and that's what made it successful. And Todd was very good at bringing out the best of people. You know, like, if he knew you were a high flyer, he brought that out in you. Like, for me, the greatest moment for me for PW is when they allowed me in the coffin cage match. They had done it a couple of times, and one of the wrestlers didn't show up because of a personal issue. He wound up getting arrested or something like that, and he wasn't coming. So Todd's like, Christ, I got to find somebody to replace it, but you just don't throw anybody in that spot. You got to have somebody who's going to make it believable and real. So at that time, I was so over as the women's champion and just over in general in that building because I wrestled there for PWU, I wrestled there for WEW, the all-women's promotion and stuff. So people were familiar with me and my character and stuff. So what Todd did was, like, you're fucking so over, it's not even funny. You're, like, more over than our champions. So he says, you're going to be the last person to enter Coffin Cage. And you're going to be in Coffin Cage. And I'm like, really? He goes, yeah. And I was like, okay. So, you know, I was nervous because, you know, we had special T-shirts we had to wear because we were on teams. I was nervous when I was walking out that, you know, I wouldn't get a pop. Well, as soon as I just stepped out there and they saw my music hit, people started to pop. And then when I walked out there, I got this, like, huge ovation. I was like, holy shit, like, I'm so fucking over. So that was, like, a big thing for me because I was in there with Too Cold Scorpio and I was in there with the SATs. And the SATs, let me tell you something, I am forever in their debt. Because those guys allowed me to pin the two of them, splash them both at the same time, like a Bundy splash, and hook their legs and pin them at the same time. I pinned both of them at the same time. So, they made me look like $1 million. And I got to work with Too Cold Scorpio on the same team. And Z-Bar, I got to work with him. And just, you know, different guys like that. And Adam Flash. And it was great. It was absolutely great, you know, working with those guys. You know, working with the SATs and stuff like that, I'm saying to myself, wow, I'm, like, really lucky here because, you know, no other girl ever got to do a match like that where it's all guys and you, and, you know, you get eliminated, you're kind of like cuffed to the cage, to the outside of the cage. And I was one of the last people in the ring, and I did the final pin. Scorp set it up, and I did the final pin. So, you know, he just made me look like freaking, you know, Wonder Woman and Xena all rolled up into one. So I was always grateful for that. And when it was all done, Todd kept saying to me, "I was so proud of you. I was so proud of you. You really carried it. I knew you could." And, you know, Todd brought it out of me. Todd brought the best of me out. They needed somebody that was an ass kicker, no shit kind of person that could take the lumps as well as give them and make it look real. And that's what he said. He said, "You were perfect for the role." So I was always very proud of that. So in there. But,
I gotta check that one out. I didn't see that match.
Yeah, it's called Cuff and Cage. Yeah, I was very, very proud of that. And as for the venue, see, I always get on these long-winded things here. But with the venues, it's hard because you gotta understand something. You gotta have insurance. You gotta have a liability insurance of $1 million. You gotta have bonds now. You know, I mean, it's so hard. It's not like you could just rent a building and have a show. You have to have insurance policy. You have to have this. You have to have that. So, you know, you got to. You got to be like really, really careful. So, and it's just hard. It's hard. You got to have a good building that's easy to get to with plenty of parking and stuff. Not somewhere where, you know, it's in the middle of nowhere and it's dingy and it's, you know, hard to park and, you know, it's not good for wrestling or anything like that. You know, so that's the thing you got to take in consideration. It's just
I liked Ace.
Like you never expected. Like when you walked into Ace, you know what I liked about Ace? I walked into Ace, and it was the Jersey version of USWA's TV tapings. It was just like that because when I worked for Lawler, and I walked into the USWA, and I would, you know, the Memphis Wrestling Studio, it was like that. I mean, you didn't climb things, and it was much brighter, but it was like that. It was like that size, and you had the people at ringside that were into it, and it was just great. It was just absolutely fantastic. And when I walked into Ace Place, I had said that to the owner, you know, well, to the owner of the Ace School. I said to him, I said, "This is like walking back in time for me. This is like Memphis wrestling." And he was like, so, you know, like honored that I said that, but it was the truth. I mean, you know, he's a good guy and everything, and he was always gracious. And, you know, Mike would help us out in any way if we needed anything, you know, but it's hard. It's just very hard. Landlords get fickle and towns get fickle. That's what happened with Gino Caruso's school. The town got fickled with the shows and stuff like that. You got to be careful. You just absolutely got to be careful anymore, you know, because I think part of the problem is wrestling got such a bad rap from whatever happened on TV and then just different promotions going into bloodshed and stuff like that, that they're afraid to allow it. Because when I started wrestling, the independents ran out of high schools or middle schools.
Yeah, that's right. I saw a lot of stuff.
You don't get that anymore. You can't do that. You're lucky you didn't get a VFW hall.
Yeah.
You know, you can't get a school anymore. You can't even get a National Guard armory anymore. You know, Carluzzo used to run out National Guard armories in high schools. He had like a little circuit going on in South Jersey. You know, it was like, this is what he would do. 1 month would be Woodbury National Guard armory. The other month would be at Violin High School. Like, he had certain places. Then he would have another month Highland High School. Another month he would do, you know, Bordentown. Another month he would. And then he had, like, one building that was, like, his headquarters, like Route 30 in Lindenwold. That, he ran a show there every single month. So he was running about two or three shows a month. So it was a nice little circuit to work for his promotion. You can't do that anymore. It's just impossible.
Yeah. Financially, you could probably do it out here because there's really no regulations out here.
Yeah, but the problem is money.
Yeah.
And you have to understand, if you're going to rent a building, the first thing an owner's going to say or a landlord is, first of all, are you a legit company? Because they're going to want your tax ID number. Okay, because if anything happens, they can come after you. Number two, they're going to want your insurance, and then they're going to call to see if it's, you know, if it's legit, and then you're going to have a bond. And that's the problem. That's where problems set in it. You just can't run shit just to run it anymore. It doesn't work that way. And as for the arena, I talked to Roger, and Argentina. And I said to him, I said, you know, is it done or what? He said, well, this lady's going to take over, and she wants to do concerts here. And, you know, the arena was being rent, too, for like, different private parties and things like that. So who knows? Who knows? They were doing boxing there. They were doing MMA there. So I really don't know what they do out of there. I mean, it's a shame because there's a lot of great memories for myself. I did my first pay-per-view ever in that building. So, you know, it's a shame. But, you know, like Francine and I talked about, everything must come to an end. Nothing lasts forever. You know?
Yeah, that actually held out a lot longer than people thought it would, too.
Yes. Yeah.
So I remember that was scheduled for the Wrecking Ball at one point.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you think about it, at one time you had PWU one weekend, you had CZW the following weekend, and then you had
Ring of Honor.
Ring of Honor, and then you had Quackenbush's promotion. What was that?
Chikara.
Yeah. So you had, like, every weekend there was a wrestling show.
Yeah.
If you were a wrestling fan,
yeah.
You pretty much, I would say, 50 weekends out of the year there was wrestling. You know?
Yeah, that was when it was all hot and stuff like that. Now it seems to be like nobody's running.
Well, it did that, if you think about it, it did that in like 95, 96, independent promoting dried up, you know?
Yeah, I think the MMA's taking a chunk out of it, too.
It's taking a lot out of it, you know, because you have to understand, wrestling is great, and it's fun to watch, and it's when men can be boys, and women can be little girls again, and we can be what we always, you know, like to pretend we were when we were growing up. But with MMA, it's real. There's no bullshit there. You know, it's. I'm not saying that wrestling's not real because there are parts of wrestling that's real. But what I'm saying is with MMA, it's just 100 bona fide kick the shit out of one another. You're either good or you're not good, you know. If you're not good, you're getting knocked the fuck out or tapping out, you know. So that's the thing. Plus you got all these reality shows now, and it's just like every time you turn around, you know, like you got a pawnbroker show on, you got three different kind of repo shows on.
Yeah.
You know, my favorite's Lizard Lick. You know, I met those guys at a wrestling show down south, and they were just cool as all hell. You know, but yeah, you do. You got all kinds of stuff. Look at VH1 and MTV. They used to be video music channels. They got more shows on there than they do music videos.
Yeah, everything's
Pregnant, Jersey Shore, Pimp My Truck, Redneck Vacation, you know what I mean? Billionaire Bayou, and it's like, what the fuck? Where are the music videos?
I know.
You turn MTV on, you just watch music videos.
Well, we're getting low on time, so when are you going to come back on and bring maybe for the fifth anniversary show? Bring some.
You know what? I'm going to have to. You know what I think I'll do? I think what I'll do is I'll do two different shows. I'll bring one we'll do with all the faces, and the other one we'll do with all the heels.
Okay.
I think that'll be good. So, because I did send emails out to everybody, you know, that, you know, in February I want to do this, and you know, I know we're heading into February now, and you know, we're getting close to the thing, so maybe the week before, we'll bring certain heels on and certain faces. Maybe we'll bring the Bell Saints on there, or we'll do a little shit stirring for the.
We could bring John and Latasha on and bring the Boston Shore on.
Yeah, yeah. And then I like to bring the Bell Saints because I like to hear their New York accents while they try and act all tough and shit. And I just go, okay, whatever.
You can do that.
Yeah,
we'll hook that up. But, you know, when actually is the show?
It's the first Saturday of March. I believe that's the third.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so we got to do this soon.
Yeah. Todd's quiet tonight. He must be jerking off.
Yeah, only because you're on.
Yeah, that's what you say this week. That's what you said to Alexis. That's what you said to Havoc. You're like, put your machete straight up my ass so Rick Cataldo can fit his cock in it.
That's kind of odd.
All right, well, cool. So you know what? I'll hook up with you next week. We'll see. I'll shoot you an email. See how soon we can hook it up. You know,
it sounds good to me because you know what? I think I'm gonna go to bed. I'm getting old, and between the meetings for this fifth anniversary and the real job world, I actually went back to the gym to start lifting. Oh my god. You know what? It's just too much.
Yeah, I
wish we were all born rich, a perfect body, the whole nine yards, and our ideas were to be poor and fuck it up. I'd win hands down.
All right, well, cool. Thanks for coming on. It was,
thank you for having me. I'm sorry I wasn't as exciting as normally, but, you know, hey, we'll kick my ass this week. All right, guys, take care.
Bye.
Take care. Bye.
All right, bye.
The boom!